If you're our guest today, it's good to have you with us. Hope that you can make it back tonight and have a Thanksgiving meal with us. That is the only one we do as a church. We don't try to do one at Christmas. Just so many things are going on in everyone's life. We figured that this time was the best ahead of everything else. We want you to have that freedom. So we'd love to come, love for you to come and fellowship with us and get to eat and just get to hang out. Hope you can make it. We're going to get started at 6 o'clock. If you've been part of one of our small groups, I hope you've had a good time, learned something, getting to know people that you didn't know. And last week was the last time we would meet. And I'm just doing a summation kind of all that we talked about in relationships and challenge us one more time how we can continue on that. But I hope that you had a good experience in your life groups and that you'll do that again. And there's an opportunity for us to get to know each other more individually on a smaller scale, because it's hard to do that in here regardless of what size or which service you come to. If you're cold, just get you a blanket. The heater will not come on, I can go ahead and promise you. But that is not air condition. It's just a fan, so it won't get so stiffy and you won't start checking your eyelids for leaks. So that's what happens. So that's what that is. Has he got air condition on? No, I don't. But it's really not cold in here. It's hot, actually, to me. Really? Really? If you're not, you might need to check your blood level or something. I don't know. Yeah, y'all think I'm really hot natured. You should know Debbie and Meredith.
I do.
It is not. I'm really not. All right. Former President Jimmy Carter applied for a stint on a submarine. He had graduated from the Naval Academy and was trying to find a slot to work on a submarine. And he was interviewed by Rickover, Admiral Rickover, who was actually in that division for 30 years when they moved to nuclear-powered ships and submarines, and he was the head guy, so he was the one that would interview. And Rickover had the reputation, and none of y'all ever under him, were you? Clay's the only one that was in the Navy. Anyone else in the Navy here? You were? You didn't ever have him, did you? Rickover, Admiral Rickover? No. He was in the, he served for 63 years, actually. Probably might hold a record on that. But they said he had a reputation of just cutting to the chase and trying to find out what someone was about and, you know, if he was going to put them in a slot. And they said even sometimes, just to get the guys off balance, he would cut the front legs off of the chair that they would sit in while he was interviewing them, just to kind of get them out of the norm. And that's who he was. And Jimmy Carter, in his autobiography, Why Not the Best, told the situation whenever he had applied for this submarine stand, and he had to go in and Rickover interviewed him, and he asked him all these questions, and he said he finally asked him one that I thought I was going to get the answer with some credibility, you know, that would kind of pick me up in his eyes. And he asked him, he says, when you graduated from the Naval Academy, how did you rank? You know, how did you place in the graduation? He says, I was 59th. Out of 802, he thought that, you know, that was pretty big. So he was waiting for a compliment from him, but he never got it. And instead, he said, he asked him, he says, did you always do your best? And he said, I had to remember who I was sitting in front of, and so I honestly answered, and I said, no, I didn't. So he said, as he turned his chair around to let me know that the interview was over, he said, why not? And that was the last thing he said. He said, I never was able to answer that, even now. Why didn't I do my best? Why is that? So that's what we're looking at this morning. In all of our relationships, from God's perspective, we started off with Adam and Eve and how everything was created. In our husband-wife relationship, in our children-parent relationship, in our brother and sister relationship, in our work relationship, do we really do our best in that relationship? Are we doing our best? That's it. That's the question. That's what we're going to look at real quick this morning. Always do your best. Jesus constantly reminds us, and throughout the New Testament, Paul, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If you wanted in one line what our message is today, it is this. It is a sin for a Christian to not always do the very best at whatever they do. Whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's cooking, whether it's whatever it is, doesn't really matter. Studying, passing in school, whatever it is. That's the whole thing. That's exactly what Paul is going to remind us. So in whatever relationship we're in, whatever that is that we've covered, can we honestly look at that and say, have I done my best? How can we answer that? Well, we have to say no. And then we ask, why not? So quickly, let's look at that. What is my relationship to how well I do whatever it is I do? Again, it really doesn't matter. If you're sweeping the floor, if you're cooking, if you're plowing, it really doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. He doesn't say that. He's going to say it in just a moment. He says wholeheartedly, meaning everything that you have put in there, how is that? Too often Christians forget that true worship is doing your best at whatever it is you're doing, whatever that is. Worship is the entire attitude of one's life for being in relationship to God, the Creator. Worship extends to every domain of life. Here's an old-timer. I'll show you his name in just a moment. But this is not me, all right? Worship extends to every domain of life. Doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're a teacher, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you're a sibling, or if you're a parent or a child. Every aspect of life. God must be served on all planes of human existence as biblical legislation testifies. It is significant that the Hebrew has one word to demonstrate work. The same word for worship in Hebrew is the same word for serving, working. It's actually the same thing. So every form of worship actually is an extension of how well we do whatever we do. That's exactly why Jesus would say it and Paul would say it. Service and worship. In biblical thought, there is no watertight division between daily work and the adoration of God. Wow. And when you do a good job at whatever you do, it's an act of worship. If you're a child of God, that's what he means. In the very first page of the scripture, manual activity and the service of the Creator are inseparably linked. R. Martin Arkin. You can't separate it. You know, that's what we do. Well, it's okay if I live like a pagan over here, but, you know, I'm going to do this part right in my Christian walk. No, you don't separate them. There's no categories. It's all tied together. And, you know, some people will try to say, oh, well, you know, don't bring this into it. It's all connected. None of it is separated. We can't separate them out. It is doing everything in the name of Jesus and giving God thanks for it. They said General Patton played polo, and his wife asked him after he'd married, because before every game he would get down on his knees and pray before every game. His mallet was laying beside the bed and his helmet was on the post, and so she asked him, she said, just let me ask you, whenever you pray before every game, do you pray that you can win? He said, heck no, I pray that I'll just do my best. That's it. You know, that's exactly what it's supposed to be about. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. If you're cutting the grass, don't leave those little ridges in between. Can I tell y'all a story? Bless his heart, he's dead and gone now. The place where we served in North Carolina, the guy that was doing the grounds work, and it was small grounds, it wasn't nearly as big a grounds as what we have here. He was doing it, and the church was paying him a little something to do it. But out there where some of the parking things was, you know, the grass was going up around it, and he would just mow upside it, but he never was weed-eating it, and it just looked horrible. You know what I mean? You know how that works, right? And so it didn't bother him. Well, finally, one of the young guys started coming to our church, and he said, you know what? I got all the equipment. I'll do it for free if I can just do it. Why? Because he said, that's ridiculous. And that's exactly right. What does that do? That reflects on everything else, right? Whatever you're doing, you know, do it. Do you know how they cut yard grass in Mexico when we lived over there? With a little machete. Try that one time. Try cutting grass in your yard with a hand machete. It's got to be sharp, all right? But taking it serious, whatever it is, and we're going to see in just a moment, students, that means if you are an A student, to make anything less is a sin. Did you know that? That's exactly what this means. It means everything is involved, not just stuff that we kind of segregate for church. Look at this, that God in all things will be glorified. How does that work? It's really not that complicated. Emerson wrote this. I'm going to read it. I didn't put it in your handout. There is a time in every person's education when he arrives at the conviction that envy is ignorance. Envying someone else, what they have, what opportunity they have, you know, why couldn't I have that break, is ignorance. That imitation is suicide. Don't try to be like everybody else. That's all he's saying. You know, who wants to be like everybody else? Be like Forrest Gump. I want to be me. You know what he said? Forrest, who you want to be? He said, I want to be me. Imitation is suicide. Boy, he was right. That they must take themselves for better, for worse, as their portion. That though the wide universe is full of good, no kernel of nourishing corn can come to him but through his toil bestowed on that plot of ground which is given him to till. God's given you a particular thing in your life, a place. You have some abilities. Only thing you can do is do the best with what you have. That's all God asked for. Kathy Rigby, some of you don't know who that was, unless you were a gymnast. What year did she participate? Y'all remember? 72 in the Munich Olympics. A gymnast, wanted a gold medal, didn't make it, did her best. She went to the stands when her name was not called out and sat down with her mom and dad, and they all cried. And she just confessed. She said, Mom, you know, I did my best. I did my best. And her mom said, I know you did, and you know you did, and God knows you did. And she said, my mom said the most 10 important words I probably ever heard in my life. This is what she said. Doing your best is more important than being the best. What does that mean? There's somebody out there that probably can be better than you are. But that's not what you gauge by. God gauges you by how well you tend that little place that God's given you, meaning your life. That's his field that Emerson's talking about. God's given us all something, and the only thing we're going to be judged by is how well we do with what he gives us. You know, he's not going to even count that we gripe because someone else got an easier take than we did. That's irrelevant. Whatever he's given us, that's what he expects us to work with. So what does that mean? If you can make A's, it's a sin if you don't. We're going to get to this in just a moment, but let me just go ahead and say, if you have a nasty room and you can clean it up, it's a sin that it's nasty. Children, students, same thing. It goes across the board. Oh, that has nothing to do. It has everything to do with it. That's what he's talking about. Do everything. I must confess, I don't always do that. My truck right now has 3 bolts in the starter, and I left one off. Because we took the starter off, and one of them is impossible. You have to take the whole manifold off one side to put it on, and it's a little old starter. I said, we don't need that. The person who was helping me said, oh, you need to put that on. We haven't. It's been running for a couple years. But it's going to affect me. You know, if it was yours, I would have put it on there, okay? But here's the problem. If we're not careful, when we start fudging over there, we'll fudge somewhere else bigger. You know, what does Jesus say? You know, when I give you this place to work, and if you're not good in that little small thing, why do you think you're going to be any better in the big thing? So I'm just confessing part of my sin, all right? When it affects everyone else, I want to do it right. But if it's just only going to affect me, I might smudge a little bit. But it's not always healthy, especially one day when I go to crank my truck and the starter's not tight because I left one of the nuts off of it. That God in all things may be glorified. Wow. It is not true that we meet here this morning to glorify God. We sing and we read the word and those things. And that tomorrow morning we're out there going about and doing something else that is not even related to anything here. There's no separation. It's just a continuation. Everything the way we should be doing things here should be the way we're doing things out there tomorrow. Should way that we should do things tonight when we get to our homes. As a Christian, everything that we do is supposed to be a reflection on bringing glory to God. That's it. Whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, when you eat, enjoy it. Isn't that right? If it's going to bother you, don't eat it. If it's going to make you say, well, I shouldn't be eating this, then don't eat it. But do it for the glory of God if you're going to do it, right? You know, I read one story. The man didn't give his name, but they were kind of painting a picture. And theologically, this is not correct, okay? Don't go out here and say, this is the way Terry thinks it works. It doesn't work this way. But they were just trying to draw a picture. This man and woman, they finally, both of them had died in their old age, and they were standing before Peter, and there was a banquet going on, and they were about to eat. And so he says, well, where's the low-calorie stuff? And Peter said, ain't none. I know that's not good English, but that's what he said. He said, ain't none up here. All of this is the real stuff. What do you mean? He said, you can eat everything you want up here, and you never gain a pound, and you don't have any problems. And he just threw his hat down and just started stomping and was fussing at his wife. He said, if you hadn't had me eating all these bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago. Why? Do everything to the glory of God. Be reasonable. People say, I don't believe in mixing real life and religion. Case in point. You shouldn't be talking about politics. Why? It's part of our life, ain't it? Oh, we got to separate that. That don't have any place. You don't think? You think something we learn from God's word shouldn't affect who we vote for? You don't separate that. You don't separate how you train your children. All that's together. That's what it means. Everything is connected. How are we doing? Are we doing our best to glorify God and who we vote for? What we do with our children, everything. It's not, you can't separate it. It's all connected. That's crazy. We are supposed to put our faith in everything, and our faith is supposed to affect everything. That's exactly what it means. If what we do cannot be bring glory to God, then we probably shouldn't be doing it. If a place you're planning on going, and somehow you can't in that place bring glory to God, you probably don't need to go. If you're in some kind of relationship that somehow doesn't help you glorify God or help them glorify God, you probably don't need to be in that relationship. Oh, wait a minute. Now, you're getting personal. That's exactly what it is. Why? Because it's where we live every day. How are we doing? Are we doing our best? That's the question. As a Christian, what you are to do on Monday morning is to be a worship offering. It's not separated. What does that mean? If we understand that everything is to be done for Jesus, then the secular becomes a sanctified place. One lady had a little motto or thing, a little saying that she placed over her kitchen window, because in those days, all the dishes were washed by hand. Did y'all know that? That there was not always dishwashers? Did some of you know that? There was not always remotes, and there was not always cell phones. A lot of this is brand new stuff to our detriment. But she had it up on her, and she says, divine services three times a day. She saw as washing the dishes as a service to God. It was a way she worshiped. That's exactly what this means. It doesn't really matter what it is. Everything, it says, everything you do, do heartily. What does that mean? You put your heart into it. You're serious about it. You don't smudge on it. Everything becomes edified during every day. As a Christian, there is no ground that is not holy ground. And there is no time that is not a sacred time. You say, wow, that kind of narrows it down. Yes, it does, doesn't it? You know, this day and time, we have so much preached that Jesus said, oh, no, you know, you can still trust Jesus, but it really doesn't affect all these other. It affects every area of your life, every area. There is no spot that Jesus does not have influence on it or supposed to. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, quickly. Three little things can be a guide of our relationship concerning anything else that we might do or anything else we might say. It's a test. We can test about, okay, about to do this. Will this happen, this happen, or this happen? And if it doesn't happen, maybe I shouldn't do it, or maybe I shouldn't say it. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The name. My actions must be consistent with the character of Christ. Character, what is that? That's who you are. You know, do a study sometime in the Old Testament. Look at the names. When they gave someone a name, it wasn't haphazardly. The name really displayed who the person was. You know, Jacob's name was what? Supplanter, trickster. He was a conniver. That's what he did all his life till God finally met him. And he touched his heel and gave him a limp, and he was finally changed. But up until that point, his whole life was trying to take advantage of somebody. So the name is who the person is. So when it says when you do it in the name, it means this. Anything that I do or say must be consistent with the character of Jesus. You remember the saying? I don't know what happened to them. They don't do them as much, but everybody was wearing WWJ bracelets and all kind of things. And what did that stand for? What would Jesus do? You know, it came from Shelton's book. We couldn't think of it in the first service. What was it? What? What was the name of it? Shelton's little book. No. What was the name of the book? Where Sheldon talked about that, where the, you know, he was a pastor and he set it up. You know, we're going to change things. We're going to start asking, what would Jesus do in this situation? And it transformed. No one remembers the book's name? What? In His Steps. If you hadn't read it, you need to read it. That's where that came from. Whoever put it on these little bracelets, they were not the first ones, all right? What would Jesus do? Literally, that's what that means. Would Jesus do what I'm about to do? Would Jesus say what I'm about to say? Would Jesus go where I'm about to go? Would Jesus be in the relationship that I want to be in with someone else? You say, probably not. Then we don't need to be in it. That's all he's saying. Do whatever you do wholeheartedly. Quickly. The word name reflects character. That's exactly what it means. It is like asking, is what I'm about to do reflect who really God is, that he cares and he loves and he provided salvation? Does anything we do or say kind of point that direction, or it would be totally against God? If it is, surely we have no reason to be doing it. The principle is this. Would Jesus say or do what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do? If not, am I doing my best to say, I don't need to do it either? You say, that's so narrow. I know it is, isn't it? You know, they used to say that about true believers. They say, oh, y'all so narrow-minded, y'all could look through a keyhole with both eyes. That's about right. That's exactly what Jesus said. He laid it out there for us. We must ask, does this fit with the character of Jesus? To do something in the name of Jesus means that Jesus would approve. You know, a lot of people, unless they check on what's being made, most of the time they don't want to stamp their name on something that's not in relation to the quality of certain things. Y'all know how that goes, right? You know, like a name. One of our friends came to a young couple's thing years ago in a different part of the state, and we had invited our young couple's Sunday school class, and we were having a Christmas party. And another friend of ours that some people in that group knew, but not everyone, they came. They went to another church, but they came just to take part in it. And there was a lot of people with that same last name in that area. So when we went around introducing ourselves and he said his name, one of the other guys that didn't really know him said, are you any kin to him? He said, no. Now, that's a different set. We're not any kin to him. Why? Because that other name had a bad reputation with it. You see how that works? When you and I do things and we call ourselves by the name of Jesus, it is not good for Jesus' reputation. That's what that means. Is my action in the character of what Christ would do or say? If not, I'm not supposed to do it. That's what it says. So am I doing my best for that? Or I say, well, it really doesn't matter. Remember what we said a moment ago? Everything matters. Every aspect of your life, you can't segregate it. Well, it's okay if I do it over here, but not over here. Nope, that's not the way that works. Not biblically. My actions, number two, must be supported by the authority of Christ. Look what he says. When a person puts his name on something, he's actually putting his authority behind it, right? There was a time when people wrote checks, and they had their sign, their name to it. Some of you young people don't know what that is yet, do you? Everything's electronic now. But there was a time, and we discussed this in the early service, some of you don't know how to write your name yet, do you? They don't teach it in school anymore how to sign your name by, what do we call that? Cursive. Yeah, cursive writing. That's a lost art. So what do you do when you're going to go buy a house? You just put an X on it? You know, still, the pizza guy brought some stuff here yesterday, and I had to sign my name with my fingernail on his phone. I said, what you want me to do? He said, sign your name. What if I say, well, I don't know how to sign my name, and it didn't teach me how to write in cursive in it. What am I supposed to do? Just print it? Is that what it is? Lord, where have we gone? Some of you do need to print. When you fill out the cards, we can't read them. I'm sorry. When you write a check, the authority of what the check is about was tied to your name. How many people cashes a blank check with no name down there at the bottom? You ever tried that? Huh? They don't want to do that, do they? Why? It takes away any authority because no name is tied to it. You know, that's exactly what this means. Anything we do, the name of Jesus gives the authority. So Jesus is not going to give us authority to do something that he wouldn't support. Do we do our best? Because if we profess to be Christians, we need to remember this part. Because remember what it says? And the name. It's tied to that. Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, authority, lo, I'll be with you always. I'll do it. What is that? When we bring his name into it, he does it. God never expects us to do anything for him, but he wants to do something through him, on his authority. So the question, how well are we doing in our actions and our talking that Jesus would substantiate it by signing his name to him? Oh, yeah, the way Terry's living, I'll sign off on that one. You know, if you've ever been in a situation where you have to do something and someone else with authority has to sign it, you understand that. If you've never been there, you don't know what that means. Because you always hear someone, they say, well, they have to sign off on it. What does that mean? Because they are the authority. Just like a policeman or a state patrol, if a traffic light goes down and they have to get out there and physically direct the traffic, or if it's by a wreck or something, someone's directing traffic, we respect the authority of that person, whether we know them or not, right? You better. Anyway, why? Because of what that stands for. You know, the authority is not in that person. It's in the whole system. And Jesus says, the authority is in me. So when you're doing things, will I sign off on it? If you don't think, you say, well, how do I know? It's very easy. Just read the Bible. It tells you exactly. You don't need to be dating this kind of person. You don't need to be going over here. You don't need to be doing this. It's really not complicated. He tells you pretty simple. This is the, you know, in its principles through the Scripture. It never says in the Ten Commandments, don't drive through the school zone at 110 miles an hour. But it tells us a principle. You know, how we operate. How do we decide to do these things the right way? If we call on his name, could he sign off on it? You know, here of late, it affects everything. When paganism hits, it affects everything. And just a few years ago, if I'm going to marry someone and I give them counseling, if I sign that they had counseling with me, then when they get their marriage license, it's a reduced rate. Okay? A few years ago, they started making a pastor go get someone to, what you call it? What? Notarized. That I'm who I say I am. It don't matter who you are. You get married, you could be whoever. It doesn't really matter. But they said, oh, no, you got to do this so we'll know that you really have done this. Why? Because evidently everybody and their brother would just go get one of their neighbors and say, oh, just say you're the preacher and sign this piece of paper. And they might not even be, don't have a clue what a preacher is. On the authority of that seal, they'll take my word for who that I say I am. Not, it ain't me. It's on the authority of that person looking at my license and asking me some questions and say, okay, that's who you are. That's how that works. That's the same thing. It means we should not do anything that Jesus couldn't sign his own name to. Would Jesus sign off on the relationship you're in right now? If not, you don't need to be in it. Would Jesus sign off on the way you're treating your employees or your employer? Then you don't need to be doing it that way. That's all that means. Every aspect of life, it's not separated. My actions must bring glory to Jesus. When something is done in the name of someone, in the name means for that person's praise. You know, when you do something right and it's under the authority of someone else, that person is praised, glorified. That's exactly what we're supposed to be about, right? Bringing glory to Jesus in what we do. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I want to read this to you. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do it anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give it anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God, not you and them. That's the whole thing. Are we doing our best to bring glory to Jesus in every aspect of our life? Because you can't pull them out and separate them. Well, I'll do this for him over here, but I'll have this part of my life to myself. Nope, don't work that way. As a Christian believer, nothing is excluded out of that. Everything goes in that. Everything that I am to do with his approval, with his authority, and for his acclaim. Some of you students probably go to schools where your teachers are not believers, not Christians. And maybe, if you ever think about it, you would like to be a witness to them. You know how you witness to them? Do your homework. Don't talk in class when you're not supposed to talk in class. Why in the world would you think they would trust your Christianity if you can't even do the menial thing as bringing your homework when you're supposed to bring your homework? Oh, well, that's separate. No, it ain't. Doing the very, very best. That's what it says. Doesn't mean what it is. How about this one? If you have some parents that really are not committed to Jesus and you would really like for your life to show Jesus is important, how do they think about when you don't clean your room? Surely. Oh, well, that's not the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Why? If you're a professing believer and you would like your parents who may not be believers to acknowledge what Christianity means, it means what? You'd clean up your room. Well, that's none of your business. It's Jesus' business. It ain't got to be my business. One lady said she went in there to clean up her child's room, took the vacuum cleaner in it, and it threw up. It's so bad. It's terrible. You ever think about that? How well you do at school? How well you clean up your room? Reflects Jesus? It does. Everything. Oh, well, I never thought about that. Right, you need to think about that. Everything is affected by that. You know, we talk a big game about Jesus and this, and then this area of our life, we don't even seem to pay any attention at all to it. But you can't separate those. Because that over there will hurt this part, especially if you're trying to be a witness for Jesus. That means that you're not to be a clock watcher. You know what that is, right? You've worked on the job where people, whenever the boss goes away, everybody sits down, except if you're truly committed, you keep working. And they say, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm just going to keep working. Well, the boss ain't looking. Doesn't really matter. And they'll make fun of you when you do that. And they'll put someone over at the corner so when the boss starts coming back, everybody can see him and they'll go back to work. How big a fool you think someone is? They don't know that this should have been accomplished while he was gone, unless they don't care either. What does that mean? You work just as hard if the boss never is there. Why? Because Jesus is looking. And you want to be a testimony, we would like to create the kind of mindset when people say, you know, if they're calling looking for some help, the first thing we would want them to say is, if you have any Christians, that's who I want. They work the hardest, they don't cheat, they don't lie, and they show up on Monday. That's what we would like. Unfortunately, it's not that way. Because a lot of Christians think, they don't pay me enough, so it's okay if I do a shoddy job. You're just ruining the testimony of Jesus. That's what happens. Are we doing the best at whatever it is we're doing? Whatever relationship that is. It's a sad commentary in Christendom today because of this kind of concept where we say, oh, well, you know, that really doesn't matter. It does matter. Everything like that matters. Students, you ought to do your homework for Jesus, not for your mom, not for your dad, not for your teacher. No, you should be saying, I'm going to do the very best I can because it is going to reflect Jesus. If you can make A's, you should make A's. If you can't make but a C and that's all God gave you, then always make C's. But at least make a C, right? Or S. What is it used to be? Satisfactory. What was E? Excellent. Didn't have many of those. Did y'all know that? That used to be the scheme. What was it? S, C, U. What is U? Unsatisfactory? Yeah. S was about a C. U was about a D. What was F? Didn't get an F, did we? N? What does that stand for? Needs improvement. Yeah. Yeah, we... And they would write on the back how well you behaved in school. Do y'all remember that? Boy, that's a bad place. The big old lots, and if there was a lot written in it when you took it home, do y'all still have to sign report cards and take them back? Yes. Do they? Oh, well, that's good. Unless y'all got a good forgery in the school, that's good. Why? You should be the most well-behaved students in the school if you're a professing believer. Well, they'll make fun of me, so what? One of these days, they're going to stand before Jesus, and you are too, and he's going to ask you, did you do your best? And you have to say, no, I didn't. And he says, why not? Well, I was afraid somebody was going to make fun of me. And where is that person now? They're not in eternity, probably, unfortunately. Maybe they got saved out of it. See how that works? Ought to be the best. Why should your parents believe you're a Christian in maturity if you don't tidy up things, be responsible? That's just the way it goes. It is a sin for Christians to do less than their best, period. How are we doing? Did we do our best? If not, why not? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did not hold back for us. You gave the best, your life, for us. Father, forgive us for being lazy, for being so concerned with what others think about us that we often fail just because of that, not to do our best. Lord, use your word. Responsible Christians around us, convict us that a year from now, if we ask ourselves, have we changed in our ability? Have we put forth more so to achieve our best for your glory that we can say yes then? Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you love us. Help us make a brand new commitment of giving our heart to what we do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.